Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we're going to be speaking about the tragedy in Miron. We're going to have Shmuley Klein. He was on the ramp. People died to the left of him, to the right of him. Somehow he survived. He's going to tell us about his experience.
And I remember an English boy next to me, he's screaming, "I can't, I don't have lift, I don't have this, I can't breathe, I can't breathe."
We're going to have Rabbi David Ashir, the famous lecturer about Emunah. He's written many Sfarim about Emunah. We're going to ask him, Shluchei Mitzvah Einin Izakin. All these people went up to Miron, to Rashbi's yard site, certainly to do a mitzvah. How could they die? Shluchei Mitzvah Einin Izakin. Rabbi Ashir is the king of speaking about Emunah. He's going to provide us with some fascinating answers. What do we say to our children? And then we're going to have Rabbi Pinchas Friedman. He's the Reish Koel of all the bells of Koelim in Eretz Yisrael. He's also the head Rashiva of the Yeshiva for Kabbalah. And he's going to discuss, is it an act of Hashem, is this Yad Hashem, or is it the negligence of people? Like, you know, Aryeh Deri wrote a letter. He says, "I'll fight for this like a lion, that you should allow 100,000, 200,000, 500,000 people up. It's anti-Semitism if you don't allow it." Well, if you allow 10x the amount of people, imagine an elevator that says, you know, 2,000 pounds, and they put in 20,000 pounds. Imagine you're at a shidduch, the boy's supposed to be 150 pounds, he walks in, he's 1,500 pounds, 10x. So is this negligence, or is this Yad Hashem? Rabbi Friedman's going to give us some fascinating answers. Rabbi Say, what are your thoughts? 732-806-8700, press number 2. That's for what the B'nai HaYeshiva have to say. Or info@headlinesbook.com. We will post both messages, voicemails, as well as written, unless you request otherwise. But we're interested in what the Olam has to say. I want to make an ad for our sponsor. I want to read two letters I got from listeners. Here's Ellie Cohn. He says, "My son is a reader, and he spent all his time reading The Hunger Games, the Shadow Bone Trilogy, and the Darkest Minds series. By his bar mitzvah, somebody went ahead and bought him the volumes of Headlines. Since then, by the Shabbos table, he's been speaking about killing a terrorist, guns and shuls, views on alcohol consumptions by Kiddush. You've changed his life. I would like to thank you very much." And signed, Ellie Cohn. Here's another letter I got from Eiser Moskovsky. "My family lives in the United Kingdom. I feel immense hakaras hatoiv to you for your books. They're the most borrowed book of our English Torah library. They have opened up the depth, clarity, and relevance of the Torah to our students. I use them constantly as the sefer to learn b'chavrusa with my students during our weekly learning sessions. They have been instrumental in giving so many their first taste of authentic, deep Torah and Svara Yeshara. We would love to have your latest book, Headlines 3, available too for our students. I am confident it will be the most loved and learned sefer on our shelves." Whatever. These are, if you want to really learn about interesting topics, keep your children discussing, debating by the table things other than politics, etc., go out and get Headlines 3. There are still some available in Svarim stores. Before we go to our guests, I'm going to ask three riddles. One for Shabbos, one for the 2 days of Shavuos. If you get all three right, you will get Headlines 3 sent to you. If you're one of the guys who got, you've gotten it in the past because you're obviously very smart and you big Talmud Chacham, we'll send you another one of the Headlines Svarim. Maybe you don't have it. Here are the three riddles. So the first riddle is, it says, Naseh v'nishma. We'll do without questions. That's what it's famous for. And Nishma will listen later. Really? That's his chayvus? Shulchan Aruch says very clearly in Chasam Mishpat, two places. It says, imagine somebody says, "I commit to feed you forever." Rambam says it's not chal. He's not nishtabir. He's not chayiv. Why? It would be the same thing in law. You can't have an open-ended commitment. You can't say to somebody, "I'll clothe you the rest of your life." Really? I mean, she could run up, or he could run up some really big bills at Barney's or whatever it is. That's not a hischayvus. You can't have a commitment that's not clearly delineated. So when they said naseh lahalacha, nothing's chal. So the whole naseh v'nishma that we celebrate, it's nothing. That's riddle number one. Here's riddle number two. The Magen Avraham in Taf Tzadik Dalet says, you should make Kiddush late
after 72, whatever Yishki is late. Why? Because you're supposed to have Sheva Shabbathis Tamimais. If you're Makade Shavuos early, so that means we cut the Sfiras HaOmer, the 4 to 7 weeks of Sfira, we cut them short, and you don't have Tamimais to make Kiddush late. So the Taz says differently. He says, and don't make Myriv early as well, because if you make Myriv early in Makadish Shavuos, you're also cutting off, which is, by the way, our minig, every shul you go to, they daven late Shavuos by night. So the fascinating question is, why does the Magen Avraham only say this Lagabe Kiddush, and he doesn't say it Lagabe Myriv? L'char ben Myriv, you're ready, Machnas in Shavuos, and you're cutting short the Sheva Shabbosesh, and you wouldn't have Tamimais. That's our second riddle. The third riddle is, the Medrash says, Hashem mi Sinai ba, Zorach mi Seir Lamai, Haifiya mi Harporan, V'asa mi Rivavois Kodesh. So the Medrash says, based on this Pasuk, first he went to Edom, and he says, do you want the Torah? And they said, what is it saying it? They said, Loi Sirtzach. They said, Loi Sirtzach? We're German. We don't know what it means. We can't live without knives and guns, right? B'nai Edom said, no, we can't take it. He went to Yishmaelim. They said, what is it saying it? It says, Loi Sinaf. Loi Sinaf? An Arab should live without Niaf. You know, they say that the terrorists, their reward is they get 70 virgins in heaven. How could an Arab live without Niaf, etc.? So, came to Klal Yisrael, they said, Nasa v'neshma. That's the Medrash on the Pasuk, a famous Medrash. So the question is, what do you mean they said no? We don't want this Hischaivas. We couldn't deal with Loi Sirtzach, Loi Sinaf. They're already mechoye from the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. One of the Zayin mitzvahs of noyach is Ritzicha, the Dama Yishafach, right? Dama Yishafach. One of them is Loi Sinaf. And Loi Signaiv, and he went to Aminamoyev, and they said, no, Loi Sinaf. You were already mechoye already before. What's going on over here? That is our third riddle. Again, get all three riddles right, you get a gift. Before we go to our guests, I want to say a Torah. What is it? You know, we're coming to Kabbalah Satira. You know, from a Yidin, it's mamish, so very heligatog. But there's a lot of people, they'll say, people who are really questioning, they'll say, the Torah is such an imposition on us. Like all these mitzvahs and to-dos, and you can't do this, and you can't eat that, and you have to do this, and you couldn't do the other thing. It's so not natural. Let me share with you a Gemara. Let me share with you a thought. The Gemara in Erevin says, Rabbi Yochanan said, if the Rebbein Shalom didn't give the Torah to Kval Yisrael, we would know much of it from the Bria. What does that mean? We would learn sneers from a cat who always, you know, buries its dung. We would learn Gneva, honesty from an ant who never steals food from another one, etc., etc. He brings four cases we would learn. There was look into creation and say, what does he mean to say? What's his message? We would learn this from that, this from the other. And I think that the Pshat in Rabbi Yochanan is that the Torah is not an imposition on Bria. The Torah is Megala things in the Bria that are powerful that we maybe often wouldn't even necessarily see. We never would have picked up on it. So the Torah is not an imposition on the Bria. It's being Megala, the situs of the Bria. It's in one, it's in consonant, it's in harmony with the Bria. And I could give you 100 examples, but I'll just give you 4 or 5. The Medrash says like this, Om Reb Shimon B'Shem Reb Simon Chasida. He says, in this world, when a person goes to pick dates, the date tree on Shabbos, the date tree doesn't say a word. It's an inanimate object. Lasid Lavai, when somebody comes to pick dates on Shabbos, the date tree is going to say, Shabbos, 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 going to stop you. What's he telling us? He's saying the trees, they really understand, they know it's Shabbos. Creation knows that it's Shabbos. We're soon going to play a powerful story, an amazing story. Creation knows it's Shabbos, but you can't hear the song of creation, the voice of creation. Lasid Lavai will hear it. But the Torah is in harmony with the voice of creation. And you know that it always bothered me for years. We just read last week, Oz Tirtza Ares HaShapseiseh. We didn't keep Shemitah for 70 years and we went into Golos for 70 years. Now every yeshiva bacha should ask this question. What are the most chomerdik yisurim in the Torah? It's Yerek Val Yavar, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, three most serious things. If you didn't keep those, do you get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael? No. Shabbos, Kaifa b'Shabbos, kaifa b'kala Torah kula, mechal Shabbos b'fahesya, is yayin nesach, is pas is pasakum, right? For these, you don't go out of Eretz Yisrael. For Shemitah, I mean, relatively minor mitzvah, that's not, you know, it's not like Ger Yosef Almanah 36 times in the Torah. I mean, it's Shemitah. That kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Like, what's the pshat in that? And what's the answer? The answer is, because the earth is alive. And you know, if you abuse your spouse, she'll throw you out of the house. The family will become disengaged. It's just normal behavior. You fight with your children, they'll leave. For 70 years, we abuse the land. Like the Rambam says, one of the reasons of Shemitah is the land is exhausted from all it gives forth, from its produce, and it needs 1 year and seven to be fallow, to recover its energies, just like Klal Yisrael and Shabbos, the Oretz is on Shemitah. So you know why us Tiretz Oretz the Shabbos there? It's not because Shemitah is the most chamerdic thing, but we abuse the earth, and the earth says, out, out, go home, out. The earth is alive. It listens to us. People see Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, an imposition on the day, but it's not true. V'yira'ucha im shemesh mevakshei panecha. Those who are mevakshei panecha, the coming of the sun, a new day, all its blessing, all its power, we stand in awe to celebrate the coming of a new day. Like the Zohar HaKadosh says, Lav kehani levushin delavish betzafra lavish bramsha. Each day has its own amazing blessing. And what is mincha? At the closure of the day, we say goodbye to the day that just was here, that just passed, and all the treasure we took from it. And what's Ma'ariv? When we usher in the dark, holy night. Do you know, one of the G'dayli Olam, previous to G'dayr, Dor Shelefnei Lefaneinu, said Pshat in the Mishnah, in Masechtas Avos, HaMahalech Baderech, somebody's driving in a carriage, V'shayin, he's learning, and he stops, and he says, what a beautiful tree. Harezeh mischayev benafshei. He's mafsik. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. And he says, kamenoi onzeh mischayev benafshei. So this gadol teich like this, really beautiful, somewhat chassidish pshat. He says, if somebody's going bederach and he's learning, and he sees a beautiful tree and he's mafsik, he says, mafsik? You see the beauty of the tree as a separation from your learning? The Torah is one thing and the Bria is another thing? Such a person is Mischayev Benafshei. Istakel Baraisu Barialma. The Torah and creation are in perfect harmony one with the other. The Torah is Megal the Seidus HaBria, and the Bria is Megal the Seidus HaTorah. Close with a story, a beautiful story from Shlomo Kalbach. He talks about how the eyes of the Holy Rishina, he looked at creation and he was able to see in creation an expression of the Torah. Listen to this fabulous story.
You know, very few rabbis had the privilege of being called holy, as much as they were very holy. But to be called holy by the other tzaddikim, it's very special. There was one rabbi, the Heilige Rishna. Our hearts shiver when we just mention his holy name. He was a descendant of the Maggid of Meserich, and he was really the descendant of King David. In a certain deep way, he restored a little bit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of King David. You know, there were rabbis who were teachers, and then there were rabbis who were kings. Rishna was the king. Okay, today, thank God, we have a 7 for 7 and a Concord. But this is about 180 years ago. The Heilige Tzemach Tzedek, the present of Avitcher Rebbe's great-great-grandfather, wanted so much to be in Rishon, because I want you to know, all the tzaddikim, all the holy rabbis went to the holy Rishna, but somehow he was already old and he couldn't do it. So he said to one of his biggest chassidim, the Heilige Rabbi Isaac Homler, please make your way to Rishon. Rishon is near Kiev, is in the Ukraine, and Lubavitch is in White Russia, and be there for one Shabbos and tell me what's happening. And everybody knows there were certain times when nobody was permitted to be in the Rishna's room together with him. And one of those special times was a few minutes before Shabbos. But the Heilige Rishna was told that the Tzimach Tzedek sent a special young man to be with him. So he sent word to him, come to be with me 10 minutes before Lichtpension, 10 minutes before Shabbos. You can imagine that Rabbi Zichomla prepared himself, and he was certain 10 minutes before Shabbos he'll walk into the Rishna's room. The Rishna's sitting with his Shtreimel, and most probably he is going over the Parsha of the week, preparing himself for Shabbos. But it wasn't so. He's ushered in to the holy room of the holy Rishna, and here the Rishna is smoking a pipe, and the whole room is filled with smoke. How much the Rishna is smoking out the world. The Rishna is filling the whole world with the incense of the high priest. And it's getting later, later, later. Rabbi Zichomla is sitting there in silence, shivering inside. But he said, oh, yeah, yeah, it's getting later for Shabbos. Only 2 minutes before Shabbos. And the Rishna is still smoking his pipe. Exactly the time of Lichtpension. For the split second, the Rishna put out the pipe and says to him, Russischer Gorn, Russischer great rabbi, come with me to the window. I'd like to show you something. And you and I, closing our eyes and going with him, Gewalt. Which one time in my life I could take my children to that window. Listen to me. The Heilige Rishon looked out from the window and he says to him, young man, do you see? Can you see the clouds of Shabbos? Can you see the clouds of Shabbos? Can you see the clouds of the weekdays making place for the clouds of Shabbos? Can you see the sky of the 6 days of the week making place for the sky of Shabbos? Can you feel the wind? Can you feel the wind of the 6 days of the week making place for the wind of Shabbos? Can you see the whole world, the world of this 6 day of the week making place for the world of Shabbos? Good Shabbos. Lechodaydi likas kalo, b'nei Shabbos nikablo.
Isn't it wonderful to go into Kabbalah Satorah knowing that the Torah is not chas v'shalom an imposition on us, but it's the holistic harmony of Torah and creation?
Let me share with you a letter that I got from Shemayim this week. Across the street from us, there was an old actor, Dr. Shragowitz. He was maybe 91, 92, 95. My son and him became the closest of friends. A 95-year-old man and a 25-year-old boy. My son used to walk him home from shul. They would talk about interesting questions and puzzles and shilas. Him and his wife died of COVID last year. You're testing this, and this is your site. Everybody was so sad. And so my son became a chassan Monday night. And Tuesday, my grandson comes over and he says, I started learning Mishnayos today. It was a big simcha. So I said, would you like to learn with me? He said, yes, I would love to. So I went into my study. I took out a Mishnayos Yachin Ubayas. What a fabulous Mishnayos. With the Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam, the Melech HaShleima, the Rishon LeTzion, Mishnah Achrona, and Rabbi Kivega V'chulu. So I opened it up. My grandson says to me, he says, Eddie, I can't learn. It doesn't have Nakudas. I was like, you know. So I looked around, and I found the Mishnayos with Nakudas. I found, like, on the top shelf. It's a Kahati Mishnayos, beautiful letters, beautiful Nakudas. I don't know when, if ever I used it. Inside, there was a letter from Dr. Shragowitz. It was from his bar mitzvah, and I'll read it to you. Dear Lichtenstein family, we would like you to know how much we enjoyed your beautiful simcha Monday night. This is the night before. We were delighted to be with you and your wonderful parents and family. Have a lot of nachas with Shragi. Mazel tov again. Thank you for inviting me, your neighbor, Dr. Shragowitz. My son, this was from his bar mitzvah, but my son became a chassan Sunday night. I read this on Tuesday. So everybody knows that in the Olam HaNeshamis, they know what we're learning here in this world, especially Chidushei Torah. So we got a letter from Dr. Shragowitz from Ginzei Meraimim. And everybody knows that they know what's going on, like the Maharam Bracha says. So I want to thank you, Dr. Shragowitz, for the beautiful mazel tov you gave to us and to Shragi on his being a chassan, and I wish you all the best. And the Olam HaNeshamis, you should go higher, higher, and higher. Joining us from Flatbush is Reb Shmulek Kleiner, a Talmud Demir, a Talmud of Luzern. He's president of Agudas Yisrael Beis Binyamin of Avenue L, who was a witness, who was at the scene. Welcome, Reb Shmulek.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us what happened, Reb Shmulek.
Well, I flew to Israel just for Lag BaOmer, and I had a schus to be at the few adlakas before. I was there from the beginning of the evening, and one of the last adlakas, it was by Meilach Biderman. It was an uplifting moment. It was a very, very nice and, like I mentioned, uplifting adlaka. Was the mamish next to the big adlaka of Toldos Aharon. I think this was around 11:45 or 11:30, and we finished over there by 12 o'clock, and everybody went from there. We went to Toldos Aharon. It's mamish nearby, and we took the path of, they call it Shvil Doiv. This is where Gates Almoves. On the way back, on the way there was a lot of a big crowd, even though this year many people didn't come, especially from Chutz Laaretz. But it was I was there many, many times in my life. I never felt so much pressure like I felt this year, even though, like I mentioned, it was maybe 100,000 people, and usually it was close to 500,000 people. And when we got to Toldos Aharon, I usually try to make a pass and get go up to the bleachers or to the branches, whatever they call it, and try to get a good view of the adlaka. But the crowd was so condensed. I mamish couldn't get there, and I felt for the whole time, I felt like, I call it like a fish in the water. I had no control of my body. I was pushed to the right and to the back and forth, and was very, very, very crowded. But the Rebbe started to speak, and one of the chidushim of this year, the Rebbe usually speaks only in Yiddish. When he finishes the it almost felt like Yom Kippur, you know, before Ne'ilah, his warm speech that he gave. And afterwards, the Rebbe did something new, and he said also the same thing. He repeated himself, but it's Lashon HaKodesh. Anybody that understands that Toldos Aharon will speak in Lashon HaKodesh, that's a big deal. And the reason he said it is that so many people, they don't understand Yiddish, so he wanted to be mechazek those folks that didn't understand what he said before. So he said it over again, and then that was the highlight of the evening, or the highlight for me at least, and I'm sure for many other people. We said Shema Yisrael together, and Baruch Shenko Malchus Olam Voed, and Hashem Elokim seven times. I don't remember ever feeling such a uplifting moment of saying with such a large sibur, probably way over 10,000 people, and afterwards, okay, I don't know if we should jump to it, but mamish, I felt the highest moment of my life. And then they started to dadlaka, and it was dancing and singing. And it showed afterwards, I usually stay for much longer. I felt that I can't, mamish, I couldn't stand that anymore. I needed the hair, I needed onto the drink. It was mamish impossible. I'm not so young anymore. And I felt it's a kind of nefashas, mamish. And I went back. I tried to go back to the same path where I came about 45 minutes before. And seems like a lot of other people felt the same, especially I call it the people that had kids on them, all the halakha people, and also the people that maybe not so tall, you couldn't breathe over there. It was mamish unbreathable. It was very, very, the crowd was, Baruch Hashem, huge crowd, but if you're not used to it, or even if you're used to it, that's something that you can't do it if you push it, especially after hours of going up and down the R, you know, it's a long day. I arrived that day and straight from the airport, I went to Miron. Wasn't easy. So we went back, we went to the same path, and I was in the middle of the ramp. It's, I'm sure by now everybody understands what it is. In the middle of the ramp, I got stuck and nobody was moving. Basically, we got squished from top and from the bottom, and for, I don't remember how long, but a long 10 or 15 minutes, I was stuck there and with hundreds of other people. And it was mamish, the feeling and the screaming and the yelling and the from right and to the left and from the top, people try to tell everybody, go back. Nobody's going back. Everybody's trying to go down to run away from there. Try to picture it when we are standing in the ramp. It's a metal ramp. It's a slippery. You have no control also. You're squashed and you can't move. And all you see in front of you is a big wall. From the other side, people are banging to try to open it, to break it and to open it. So in our mind, at least in my mind, and I'm sure many other people, we thought that the police closed that between 12 o'clock and 12:45 when we got there, somebody closed it. So the feeling that somebody closed us and the claustrophobia that you feel, it did not help the situation. And you hear from few foot away from you, people are dying, screaming for water, screaming for air, atzole calls. It was the longest and hardest moments that I experienced after such uplifting moments of my life. It was very, very bad. I'm a little bit, I'm tall enough to be able to breathe. And I remember an English boy next to me is screaming, I can't, I don't have lift, I don't have this, I can't breathe. I told him nicely, but not so nicely. I told him, shut up, don't scream, concentrate on breathing only, lift your head up, he's not so tall, lift your head up and don't say a boo, just save your energy. And I was holding a bottle of water that I got before I went down the ramp. There was Tzadikim over there standing and giving people water, throwing on us bottles of water. At that moment, when I took the bottle of water, I was surprised that nobody else made the same move that I did and grabbed the water. You don't think about it. Everybody's running away, and you don't think you might going to need the water or it's very important to drink. So I was lucky enough to have a bottle of water. I opened it. I took a zip a little bit, and I saved it. So I'm holding the bottle of water. I try to picture it. I have my hands up with a bottle of water, and I was so squished, it was so condensed, I could not drink the water. I couldn't make the move to move my hand to be able to drink the water. But people saw the bottle of water and everybody wants to drink. They're asking me this, Shiva Bocher is asking me, please, I'm dying, give me the water. I said, take it. He couldn't make the move to take the water, even though he knows maybe it's his last moments. It was so bad. I felt like I want to help somebody, and you can't do nothing. And even for myself, I wanted to drink it, and I can't drink it. Mamish was pachad noira. Next to me, about two feet away from me, was a Hasidic young man that had his kid on his shoulder. Just did a halakha probably an hour ago or hours ago. Cute little Hasidic boy. And the father probably has his kids for hours, who knows how long, from the beginning of the mountain all the way up to that locker. I don't know from how many hours he has it on his shoulders, because it's the only way to keep a three-year-old in such a big crowd. And he's asking, please, tikhuli tayelet, ani lo yechol inshom, ani lo yechol inshom. Somebody was able to make the move and take the baby away from him, to think, to understand what I'm saying. I couldn't reach out to my water. So for that person to be able to take out his hand and lift up the boy, he's only a malach from Shemayim. That's the only explanation. A malach came and took this little boy from his shoulder. And 2 minutes later, the father is on the floor, and Rachman al-Utslan is not with us anymore. The baby is crying, Tati, 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 the screaming, and everybody together with them. You couldn't even hang up, and you try to make a circle open or try to make some room for somebody on the floor. It was terrible. People stepped on him. You couldn't make a space for him. He was, I don't remember, I don't think I stepped on him when I went up, but I'm sure I saw other people stepping on him. And when Atzola came a few minutes later, Atzola started to come from the top, from the adlocker. They came in, they made a pass, they coming with whistles, and they, everybody somehow, also it's a nice, I called it, I experienced like almost like Kriyas Yamsuf. All of a sudden there is opening, and Atzola is coming one after the other with stretchers, and there's a path to go, and they went all the way to the bottom of the bottom of the, where there was a lot of people on top of each other. This was the where most of the people die. It was all the way on the bottom, and I saw this opening the moment I called it Kriyas Yamsuf. I ran in and I pushed, ran with all the koiches I had, the last koiches I had, and I went back to the adlocker up and ran away from there. I don't know how many more people did the same thing. At that time, I didn't think too much. All I know is when I went up, the music is blasting and they dancing and singing, and it's mamish underneath the orchestra. There's a bridge over there, and the orchestra is on the bridge, and everybody's singing, and I'm trying to scream, Raboisai, people are dying, stop the music, but who is listening to me? Who would listen to me? I went up, and the only way to go is to go back to the Mahara, back to the caver. That was the other exit to go. And at that moment, also, police officers came. So they made another opening for the police officers. And the officers came, and everybody made space for them to come down. And then I'm listening to the officers, and one of them is saying, Tasu makom, Rav Rashi magia. I said, what? This is where they're going? The escort, the Rav Rashi? This is what we need now? People are dying over here. A moment later, the Rav Rashi is passing by me. I know him personally. I told him, Rabbi Lau, do yourself a favor. Turn around and go back. I'm telling you, people are dying there. You don't want to be there. He's looking at me and he's looking straight. I think, what are you talking about? He didn't say anything, but from his eyes, I realized that he doesn't understand what I want from him. He continued, and I ran into the Mahara, to the Ketu inside, and it was like an opening and going through the Mahara and made a path right away to go out. I couldn't be there more than 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I was looking just for the exit to go out. Once I came out from there, I started to hear Tehillim. I said, oh, Baruch Hashem, they know what's going on over there. And then I went outside. I was looking for my friend I came with, and you see another stretcher and another stretcher and another guy, and what they did over there, they seeing that you saw one after the other. And at one point over there, in the middle of the, on the way down, they put down the people on the floor and starting to do CPR on them. And you see, they call it X, another one, and another one, and you hear another X and another X. Scary, scary moments. Unbelievable. And you see the Atzola, the Chevras Atzola, what they did is they running with the stretcher, four or five people holding the stretcher. There is a person on top of it. They probably can't breathe or doesn't have who knows what. And on top of it is another Atzola guy. He's doing CPR while they're running down the mountain. It's everybody can just try to understand or to picture it. It's a very steep mountain, and they're running, and somebody's on top of it, and kids are looking and crying, and ladies and people. Everybody is just crying and looking, and it was neuroneurites. Baruch Hashem, I made it.
Rishon, could you go back next year?
I said the moment I was able to send a message to my family into the shul, because I know that in America everybody's up and they hear me, they're probably worried about me. The message I send is never again, never again. I will make sure nobody's coming from America. Afterwards, when I thought about it, maybe it was too much. If it meets Hashem, I'm sure they're going to learn the lesson. I don't know if it's going to take a year or two, but till they're not going to do something major over there. And it's not going to be organized. I'm asking anybody that thinks that it's a very choshev place, don't go. And if you want to go, there's no mitzvah to be there that night. You can go day before or day after. It's mamesh makom sakanas nefashos. It's a miracle that nothing happened till now. Mamesh a big neis. So that's the message that I would like to give over. It's not a safe place. Not a safe place.
Rabbi Shmulik, we should only hear Mr. Titus. Thank you for your time.
Amen. Amen.
Joining us from New York is Rabbi David Ashir. He's the author of Living Emuna. He's a famous speaker, author, etc. Welcome, Rabbi David.
Hi, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. So a lot of people have been asking, the Gemara says a clause, it gets in Psachim and Dachet, that Shluchei Mitzvah Einim Mizakin. So in light of that, how are we supposed to understand what happens in Miron?
That's a good question. Before I answer that question, I want to preface that whenever we see any seeming contradiction between a statement of Chazal and what appears to be in front of our eyes, or a statement in the Torah, and we don't have an answer on the spot, it's actually an opportunity for us to be able to serve Hashem with emunah. Because when we have a question and we don't know the answer, but we believe that Hashem is doing the right thing and He's the same Malei Rachamim, then it makes the avodah much greater. When Moshe Rabbeinu, he asked Hashem, Lama Hare'ota La'amazeh, he had one question. Hashem, you said you were going to do good. What happened? You're supposed to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Hashem said, I missed the avot, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They had so many questions they could have asked me. I made them so many promises. They didn't see the fulfillment. They obviously, Hashem had something else in mind, but they never asked, and they kept serving me. And that's a great opportunity that even if we didn't have the answer to this question, to say, Hashem, I trust you. Shiluchei mitzvah en ani zokin. I don't understand, but I still trust you. That having been said, actually one more preface. Most of the time we don't understand the way things happen because we are in this world. We don't see beyond this world. There's a whole nother picture beyond the curtain that we can't see. And we look at this world with this world eyes. But if we would see, if we would know more of the picture, everything would make sense. Anyway, regarding Shiluchei Mitzvah en ani zokin, the question already could be asked in different statements of our Chazal in the Torah. I saw the question asked when Sarah Imenu passed away, when she heard the news of Yitzchak being slaughtered, Parchan Ishmata. So over there, Abraham was listening to a command by Hashem. He was following instructions. There's no greater Shaliach Mitzvah than that. And for him to come back and find that his wife died as a result is seemingly a contradiction to that statement of Shiluchei Mitzvah en ani zokin. It also says when Yosef, when Yaakov Avinu says to go look for the brothers, and Yosef was listening to his father, he went to search for his brothers to see how they're doing. He was doing kibur avayim, and he was harmed. He was thrown into the pit. He almost died. He was sent into slavery. Over there also, the Mefarshim asks, Shiluchei Mitzvah en ani zokin. So there's a Maharsha that actually Rav Chaim Kanievsky used to answer Pesara Imenu. The Maharsha says in Masechet Shabbat on the Kuf Yud Chet, he writes there that Shiluchei Mitzvah Ena Nizokin means that a person will not get harmed as a result of the mitzvah that he's doing. He will not get harmed from doing that mitzvah. But it does not mean that if his time to die arrives, that the mitzvah is going to extend his life. If a person's time came, then the person's going to die. If that's his time, that's his time. The only one time he says that, the only one time we find where someone's life could be extended is if they're in the middle of learning Torah, like David HaMelech prolonged his life by learning Torah. But other than that, if the time for a person to come to die has arrived, then even in the middle of a mitzvah, he could pass away. Because he says, the time for Sarah Imenu came, it says, Shenechaye Sarah, she lived 127 years. And the time for her to die, she didn't die a second early. But Hashem gave her the zechut to die from the knowledge of a mitzvah. When it says, when a person dies amidst a mitzvah, the zechut is tremendous. They go to Shamayim so pure. And any resulting kiddush Hashem that would arise from that, they get the credit for. And that is why Hashem took Sarah Imenu in that fashion. That having been said, in our example, in our question here about the great Tzaddikim who passed away in Meiron, there's no question that every single one of them, it was their time to die. Wherever they would have been, it was their time to go. They had a certain number of years allotted to them. But Hashem brought all of them in one place and took them all at the same time, in the middle of a mitzvah of going to pray and going to cry out to Hashem. They're doing the mitzvah of tefillah, singing to Hashem. It says you don't get damaged on the way back either. But at that moment, Hashem gave them, knowing it's their time, He gave them the zechut to leave the world in the middle of a mitzvah. It says in another Gemara, Rabbi Yosef said, Yeheh helki mimetim bederech mitzvah. I wish that my portion in Gan Eden can be next to the people who died while doing a mitzvah. The zechut that brings about is enormous, and especially when it was caused like this, when there was such an arousing in Klal Yisrael, hearing the message from Hashem to improve, that they will get the zechut of every single person who improved from this event. So, Shiluchei Mitzvah Ena Nezokin is you will not get damaged from doing the mitzvah, but if the time had come for the person to pass away, the time had come. And Hashem gives Tzaddikim the ability to leave the world in the midst of a mitzvah. If I could just add, not always when a person's in the middle of a mitzvah does it end. A person can get harmed also. What if a person gets harmed? He didn't die. So he says, that's by the Or HaChaim writes of you there by Yosef. He writes a very important phrase to understand this concept. It says that Yosef, he says, Nezek shetechilato hatava uma'ala gedola eno hashuv nezek. He said Yosef wasn't harmed. Yosef was becoming, Hashem was paving the way for him to become the viceroy of Egypt. Yeah, it looked bad. He was sold, he was a slave. But the purpose was for a much greater purpose. That's not called damage. We have to also know, we don't know what the definition of nezek is. A man told me about 6 years ago, he wanted to do a mitzvah in Israel. He wanted to go somewhere, and he had to go through some area that had Arabs in it. And he said, he asked one of the Gedolei Hador if it's called Shchiya Chezeka, if he's allowed to go, or if he shouldn't go because it's Shchiya Chezeka. And the Gadol told him that no, it's a time of peace, there's no problem, you could go, and Shchiya Mitzvah in Anizok. And that's what he told him. And the man told me he went, and on the way there, he was cornered by three Arabs and he was stabbed. And thank God he was alive and he came back. He was in the hospital and he couldn't come to terms with what happened. He said, what happened to the rule? Shliach mitzvah in and izokin. And the rabbi told me, and he said, for the next 6 months, I was asking everybody I could find for an explanation and nobody gave me a good explanation. He said, until I myself got the answer. He said that story turned out to be the turning point of my life, because he says the appreciation that I have for my life every day now is not to be believed, because in his youth he He had a lot of anxiety problems. He had trauma. He had this. He never was able to have a normal day of living without being bombarded with negative thoughts. He said after that episode, all of that fell to the wayside. It didn't even exist anymore. And all I did was just was so appreciative of living. He says, now I have peace of mind. Now I'm able to enjoy my life. What I thought was nezek wasn't nezek. We don't always know what nezek is.
That's very powerful. Which is a little, I guess that's what gamzul l'tova means in a way, no?
Exactly. Gamzul l'tova. We can't see it. We don't know why. We don't know, but we know that it's going to have, we're going to see the good later in it.
Do you see anything, you know, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that died, and they stopped dying, Marsev, on Lag BaOmer, they all died in Nisus Askara. They died, they weren't able to breathe. Almost all those who were crushed, we had on somebody who was there, he said, nobody could breathe. Do you see it like, as if there's any correlation?
Well, I was listening to a shiur the other day, short message by Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. He mentioned that a year ago, when people were dying also at this time from corona, which also is from a lack of being able to breathe, lack of oxygen, he was saying at that time that Hashem is talking to us. We have to be in oheg more kavod to each other. And he said now, a year later, to be something to be hitting so much home with again the same type of, not the same type, but also the lack of oxygen. He said the message is very, very screaming at us that at this time, when that's what we're supposed to be working on, we're having a wake-up call. That yes, we have to have more Ahavat Yisrael, we have to give each other more kavod, and that's the only way that we're going to ever be zocher to have the Beit HaMikdash back. Because as long as the sin'ah is still there, we're just going to continue the galut. We anticipate that Hashem wants to bring the Mashiach now. He wants to bring the Mashiach, but he needs us to respond. And he's in the olden days, when Hashem wanted to give the people a message, he spoke through the Navi. He told the Navi what to tell us. Nowadays, when there's no Navi, how does Hashem speak to us? The rabbis tell us through world events, through major events. So Hashem is talking to us. And again, of course, yes, for them, it was their time to go. And for them, they're in the highest levels of Gan Eden. But the way Hashem brought it about is speaking to us that we have to take this message. We have to forgive people. We have to say enough is enough. You know, I love everybody but him. You know, I love everybody but her. But I can never get over what she did. This is a calling to us that every single person has to say, is there anyone in my life that I have animosity towards? Hashem is asking me to forgive them. What else do you want? Hashem is calling on us. Let's forgive. Let's love again. And know that anything that happened to you from that person wasn't him anyway. He was a puppet. Hashem was doing it. These are simple mitzvot in the Torah. Lo tisnat achicha, lo tikom, lo titor. We must correct these. And I was very inspired by that message that yes, there seems to be a very strong correlation and we must respond.
That's very powerful. Ravishya, what should people tell their children who are very distraught? Is it the same message that you suggest there, that look, the time has come? Is there anything else for Chinuch that we should say?
I think this is also an opportunity, you know, to teach people we don't always understand the ways of Hashem. We know there's major things happening before the end of days. We're in the time of Mashiach, where the rabbis have predicted things are going to happen that it's so hard to fathom how Tzaddikim could leave the world like that. And to teach our children, you know, we know that Hashem is running the world. We know nothing happens without Hashem. Hashem loves us. Everything that we're going to see and that we're going to see soon, Mashiach's going to be here. We're going to see them on the other side, what this accomplished. Who knows? If this didn't save thousands of people that Chas v'Shalom could died elsewhere, we don't know what a korban does. We don't know, but we do know that Hashem, who loves us, is always orchestrating events at the best possible way. We shouldn't walk around in fear of this thing. We should walk around knowing Hashem is still running the world, still doing everything for our best. And that's the message of Chinuch, I would say.
Well, Rabbi Yeshia, thank you for the amazing job you do at inspiring so many people with emunah. So what you're doing is really something fabulous. And Rabbi Yisrael should give you kayach to continue to be marbit Torah and be marbit emunah in Klal Yisrael.
Thank you very much.
Kol tov, Rabbi Yair. Joining us from Yerushalayim is Rav Pinchas Friedman. He's the Rosh Kol and Bells in Eretz Yisrael, all the Kolim and Bells in Eretz Yisrael. He's also the Rosh Yeshiva of the Kabbalah Amoysed Mevakshe Hashem. He prints weekly a Shvilei Pinchas, which gets 10,000 people a week who are listening to it. It's in both Hebrew, English, and French. It's a great honor to have you with us, Rabbi Friedman.
Okay, good evening.
So, Rabbi Friedman, here's my question. How do you look at Miron? You know, as a you know, big Talmud Chacham and a Chassidish Yid and a really a Makabel, how should we be looking at the accident that happened?
Okay, first of all, the question is a very broad question, and the answer is spread in a few avenues, so to say. First of all, I would like to begin to say that this big tragedy is be'etzem a tragedy of Klal Yisrael. It's a tragedy for the entire Klal Yisrael. Such a thing didn't happen for years. And on the great day of Lag Ba'Omer, when there were so many Yeshuas in Miron on the Tzion from the Heilig Gitana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and on this day when 24,000 pupils, Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, stopped dying because they didn't honor each other, they didn't talk to each other with dignity and with kavod the way Talmidim Chachamim should do. And on that day that Rabbi Akiva lost all his Talmidim and they stopped dying, on that day we lost in a tragic way 45 Heilige Neshamos. So I would like to share with you what my thoughts are. That these things have a few avenues of Cheshbon HaNefesh. First of all, okay, the ones who are putting together the act in Iran, they need to make their Cheshbon HaNefesh, whether they did everything to prepare that it shouldn't happen. And even to me, it's their Cheshbon HaNefesh. They need to do everything to fix that it shouldn't happen again. That's their part, that they know what they need to do. We're not supposed to even tell them. They know everything what to do and how to do. Question is, how do we relate to that great tragedy? So there's definitely that we all need to make our own Cheshbon HaNefesh. And the one point that comes up again and again, V'koshlu ish ba'ochiv, they were stamped one on each other, which symbolizes the fact that it appears that the punishment of Shaloi Nahogu covered Zebazeh, Tamidu Rebbe Akiva, 24,000 that died because they didn't have the right covered one to each other, they didn't talk respectfully to each other. It seems that this is a very powerful message to us to say, Kinderlach, it's time to wake up and to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. But I think that this tragedy has a bigger picture to it and a greater view how to look at it. So as I said, privately, we need to view it as a Cheshbon HaNefesh for everyone. But because it's such a big tragedy, to this extent, it means that it has a deeper meaning. We know that we are in Golus, and we know that we are living in the generation of Ikvus de Mashiach. The Gemara says in Sota Daf Memtes, the Ikvus de Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, Chutzpah Yazgi, the Chutzpah is going to grow, like we see here in Eretz Yisrael. The Rishonim, they have Chutzpah, they attack us. It's Ikvus de Mashiach. We can see in the Gemara Sanhedrin that Tzadik Ches, how great are the pain of Ikvus of the Mashiach. The Gemara says, Ula and Rabbe and Rabbi Yochanan, they all said, Yesei veloi ichmine. Mashiach should come, but I wouldn't like to see him. It's unbelievable, these words, because the pain of Ikvus of the Mashiach is so great that they felt that they are happy that they're not in the generation of Ikvus of the Mashiach. So the question is, Moira v'Rabbeisai, Such a great people said that they cannot bear to watch the Ikvus of the Mashiach. How are we able to withstand the pain of Ikvus of the Mashiach? The Teretz is Meirah V'Rabbisai, that we believe in that Kodesh Baruch in the Borei Aluman, and if He created us and brought us down on this world, the Ikvus of the Mashiach, that means that He gives us the power how to deal with all these hardships. We have the power that generations didn't have. Reb Shimon ben Yochai says in Zohar HaKodesh, there is Mamorim and Parshias from Raya Mehemet and Neshama from Moshe Rabbeini that learned with Reb Shimon ben Yochai. And then Raya Mehemna, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Neshom of Moshe Rabbeinu, said to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Bahai Chibiru Yiftam in Golisa Barachman, with your Zohar HaKodesh, and the schools from the Zohar HaKodesh, we will go out of this Golis with Midas Arachman. Says the Ramchal, the great Ramchal in Adir Bamorim, that Reb Shimon ben Yochai brought down the Zohar HaKodesh to be mevatel the great pain of Ikvus of the Mashiach, instead of having it all together like we had, unfortunately, in the big Holocaust, Hashem Yerachem. HaKodesh Baruch Hu gives it in small portions.
I want to ask you a question. Mr. Lenny Friedman sent this to me. There have been many warnings by the Israeli government and by many organizations, et cetera, health department, that it should not have more than 10,000 people. It's been over 6 years that these warnings have come out. The New York Times actually wrote an article about it.
Right.
And the Rambam, you spoke about the Ramchal. The Ramchal in Perek Tes of the Matil Susharim, right?
Yeah.
Right. He says, Yesh Yir Uya, Yesh Yir Ashaita. Yesh bitachem v'yesh hailulas. Misha yirtzeh shalom yanag atzmai b'derech ha-chachma v'yafkir atzmai l'sakana hini ein zeh bitachem elo hailulas. And I'll give you an example. I learned in Eretz Yisrael for 5 years. I never went. You know, when people would say, look, it's a really dangerous to be with such a crowd. You know, I didn't go, honestly, to the CMI Shas for this reason. I thought somebody, you know, it's a tremendous target for an Arab. If there's some type of a detonate of even a small explosive device, there's a lot of people going to get trampled. So on one hand, we could look at it and say it's Ikvus of the Mashiach. On the other hand, we could say, like the Masil Susharim says, Yeshir Shaitav Yesh Betachin Shu Hailulus, he says. Also, so, and you know, I'm sure Baruch Haim HaKadosh and by Yosef, he says the brothers threw him into the boyer. So Rashi says there was no nechash abul haboyrik ein b'mayim. Rashi says mayim b'mayim abul nechashim v'akravim yeshbay. And the Yerachaim says, so if they didn't want to kill him, why did they throw them into the boyer? So Rachaim famously says, he says, because of Bechira, a person has the ability to kill anybody they want.
Right.
Otherwise, it would be a steer to Bechira. A person has the right to kill themselves. But he says, if the person's a tzaddik, a nachash wouldn't bite him. He says, let's see if he's a tzaddik. We could kill him. So this person's basically pointing out, as many others did, is that there was a real element of sakana here. And what's the nafkamina if it's Ikvus of the Mashiach or if it's a sakana? Do you do it next year? Yes, you say, look, it's Men HaShemayim, it was lightning, we have no hand in it. Let's do the same thing again next year. But if, on the other hand, we say, no, it's Asal Adam, all right, lost him after Malkam Sakana, you can't do it next year. So this Hakira has an afkamina lahalacha. I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Okay, I'll tell you my opinion, honest opinion about it. Definitely, as I said at my beginning of my words, those who organized it need to make their cheshbon nefesh. But let's think about hundreds of thousands of innocent people that said, every year so many people are going, or every year so many, and nothing happens. They did not have the knowledge. They did not, and I'll discuss it because it's a very interesting point. They were victims of a custom that went on year after year until it happened what had happened. Now, the question is, why did it happen with 45 deaths, such a tragedy? Is it only a warning to those who organized it, or is it also something above that? Because There is a Gemara, and this is a very interesting subject that you mentioned about Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem. The big sugya. The Gemara says in many places that there are things that we're not supposed to eat because it's danger. Water that was open all night long, maybe a snake came and drank from it, and etc. Many. So, but the Gemara says because everybody does it, Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards the fools that don't know they have to be aware. So there's a big sugya going on with the Poskim. What is the Hagdara of Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem? When am I allowed to go along with the entire crowd and when not? And I'll bring to your attention that might be very interesting. You said that you're not going to the Siyam HaShas because it's a danger. That is the real example of Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem. They do what they can, they try to do what they can, and if thousands of people go, maybe they shouldn't have, but I'm too of a small human being, too of a small person in the picture, should be kaveya whether they should do it or they shouldn't do it. If all the Rabbanim did it, and they're doing it, and you might, according to my cheshbon and nefesh, it might be, maybe there's a sofik pikuach nefesh, Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem. The great Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the great poisik in Shalos Shivas Mincha Shlomo, brings from a Rechona Vassamah Zeche Tzadik Reb Roch Hashem Yinkem Doma, in Koivet Shiurim, that says, a murder dikizach, he says that when you should you run away from a danger, if people are scared to do it because it's a danger, then you should run away from it. But kol dover shehoilem nohagim lasoisei kein veloy lochush, people are doing it and they're not scared. Mitel laodam lismach al shoyme pesoyim Hashem ki ma shekotzro yado odam ladas leizor memenu akadosh baruch Hashem. If everybody does it, And nobody says that it's a danger, although you personally think that it might be a danger, you can rely on Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem. And that answers the question, because your question is so broad. Some mothers are scared to let out the children on the street, because when they cross the street, even though the light is green, there might come a motorcycle, Chas v'Chalila, and knock them over. And it happens. And statistically it happens. But life needs to go on.
Rabbi Friedman, let me ask you a question. There are many people, let's say, who eat and become obese, right?
Yes.
Doctors say it's very unhealthy. Would you say Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem?
In Eretz Yisrael,
there are thousands of Bachrim who smoke. Would you say on that Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem?
I would say like this. Listen to what I would say. I would say that if I am put to the question whether I should smoke or I shouldn't smoke, definitely I shouldn't smoke. But if I have children, and Baruch Hashem I don't, that fell into the trap of smoking and they cannot stop, I cannot make them stop. They're too young to take upon themselves to stop. I will need to go say, Ribbono Shel Olam, he followed a tremendous crowd that smoke. Shoyme, please guide them. So the question is not if I'm allowed to smoke. The question is not if I'm allowed to eat. The question is if it's hard for me to control not eating. I have a problem with that. Am I supposed to, what do? Am I supposed to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm trying to control, but there are hundreds, thousands, and millions of people who are obese, have the problem, and are healthy. So please, Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem. And that's why it's so delicate, this question.
Because would you say the same thing about drinking?
I would say the same thing about drinking. I wouldn't say the same thing about drinking, but I would say the same thing if somebody is already trapped into drinking. So what do you say? You're not supposed to pity him? That it's the line.
Let me repeat. Take away Bechira because of Shoyme Pesoyim Hashem, you know?
We can't take away Bechira.
Rabbi Friedman, a person says, I'm an internet addict. You're going to say, You know, there are millions and millions and millions of people, a billion people who are internet addicts. The guy's going to say, look, I'm an internet addict.
I don't say that an addict is Shema Pesoyim Hashem. I said the addict, we're supposed to have Rachmanos on him. It's not Shema Pesoyim Hashem. Nobody
right,
says.
He's following a billion people. So not also, and he's following a billion people. Should we say Shem
Ritzvah? He's not following billion people of Shem Ritzvah and Mitzvahs who say you're allowed to do
okay.
that.
So there are 10,000, there are 100,000 of somebody who keeps Shabbos and Mitzvah and Kashrus. Let's say 100,000 who are internet addicts. Would you say Shem Ritzvah?
No, because nobody says you're allowed to use it because. Everybody says it's a danger. It's not the
everybody
same thing
says
like
smoking is a danger. There's not a single doctor in the world now that will say smoking is not a danger.
So you're not supposed to smoke? Definitely.
But
I'm saying if your child fell into the trap, please, it's very important to understand the difference. I am not saying you're allowed to smoke because Shem Pesoyim Hashem. I said if your child fell into the trap and is smoking, what should you do with him? I'm asking you.
You love the child. You try to help him, but if you can't, you can't. But what he's doing is for sure awesome. There's no doubt about it.
That's right. But still, because he fell into the trap due to the many that smoke, you can say to Bnei Shalom, please guard my child, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. So I'm not saying that you're allowed to do something with Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. I say you're allowed to do something when thousands of the Rabbonim give a heter, like the Siyam Hashas. There's a big, broad difference to the Siyam Hashas that's being organized by the Gdele HaTorah and by all the Shomer Torah mitzvahs. Although you are sure that it might be a danger, somebody might put a bomb, but still, they're doing everything they can. On this, we can say Shem Pesoyim Hashem, and you can go only Kitchil on that place, and you can cross the gutter. You can cross when the light is green. You don't have to, maybe somebody's going to come knock me over. Shem Pesoyim Hashem. You're allowed to come to Eretz Yisrael, although it's a dangerous place, because all the Rabbanim say I'm allowed to come, and a lot of people, most people come, go back, Baruch Hashem, on harm. Shem Pesoyim Hashem. But doing something that's forbidden, smoking, something that you can control, not the beast that people cannot control, something that people can control, internet that everybody says that it's a dangerous berochnius, but people cannot control, there's no heter to start using internet because Shem Pesoyim Hashem. The difference is very, very clear to me. And if not, you can repeat the question and I'll try to answer again.
Shema that Rabbanim are matir, you say Shema Psaim Hashem, but something that Rabbanim are not matir, you don't say Shema Psaim Hashem. Is that
100%? Yes, 100%. Now, after a while, you see, why would the Rabbanim matir? So you need to say, we need to have a minus chachamim. We need to have a minus chachamim and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a reason why they didn't grasp it till now. It's not from my responsibility to explain why they didn't realize the danger till now. But the thing is that all those people who went year by year to Miran, and they went with Amina Pshita, the organizers will need to give them the chesm why they didn't see what's going on. But they went, the Rabbanu went, and they thought that again we're getting out of it, Baruch Hashem, we're going to get out of it again. And it still happened on the day for Shimon Ben Yochai.
So it's a message? Would you say next year people cannot go?
I would say that next year there's no question that it's going to be worked out. Halavai Mashiach said they're going to do it exactly the way it needs to be done. They're going to separate and they're going to let in only a certain amount of people. After such a tragedy, I promise you, you can go to Meron without any problem. They won't let in anymore so many people and there won't be any danger at all. The Rachmanis says why we needed to come to that situation and why was such a Tmimizike, Kedoshim, Tahoyim, young children were victims. So that's part of the Chevelin Mashiach, yes. That's part of the Chevelin Mashiach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not open up our eyes before that we should stop and say we're not going. Yes, it's part of Chevelin Mashiach and it's part of the Cheshbon HaNefesh that those who didn't organize it the way they should make for themselves.
Okay, you know, the sheet of the Chida, et cetera, is there's no Shem Epsayim Hashem on something that is not Muva B'Talmud. Just an interest.
But I told you what Reb Chanan Wasserman says and what Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says. There's no shame of Pesayim Hashem. If everybody does it, you can rely on shame of Pesayim Hashem. And like I said, if we don't follow this rule, there are these parents that never let the children out of their sight, and they never let them go on the street to Bes Medrash alone. It doesn't end. It needs to end somewhere. How many tragedies and accidents happen in New York that are killed 100 times 45? You know it. So I won't let my child go on the street. I will tell him why.
I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference in going to a place where a stampede is very possible than going out in the street. Most people, you know, it's a rarity to know somebody who died of a car crash, right? I don't think there's a person in Cholesterol doesn't know a family, somebody who died in this event.
I think accidents in percentage wise is much bigger than this. Definitely, it's much bigger this percentage wise. And I think that like I said, CMHS.
Okay.
Yes, you brought a very good sample. See, Mashan, you think it's a danger. So you will let
your child... Rabbi Friedman, I think that dangerous things are safe and safe and safe until they're not safe suddenly. You know what I mean? It's
right?
Like bad things don't happen. You know, people... I know a fellow, he went helicopter skiing for 6 years, very dangerous. And it was he was safe until he died. You know, so
right.
I want to ask you. You're a big Talmud Chacham. You're Ishkel. You're a Makobel. I want to ask you. There are people who run around saying it's because of this reason, it's that reason, the other reason. Do you think we have a right to say a reason as to why
no disaster
happened in Klal Yisrael?
No. I always, when I write, the first line I begin. Over the corona, that we lost so many people, that nobody has the right to say why it happened. Only Yehudei's Gila, the Manhigei Ador, and they don't say anything. Those who think that they can say a purple and a medrash and they say why it happened, it's wrong. Nobody can say why it happened. What I can say is the Rambam says that if there's a Torah, I should make a Cheshbon Nefesh, my Cheshbon Nefesh, because if things happen because it needs to be happened, the Chavle Mashiach, the Neshamas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows why. Still, I need to make my Cheshbon HaNefesh to take advantage, so to say, of this event, to be Nesorah B'Tshuva. But I never dare to say that it happened, because, yes, Chavle Mashiach is easy for me to say. Because the Gemara says that it's going to be Chavle Mashiach, then I can say, Baruch Hashem, I'm not happy, but it's part of Chavle Mashiach. We need to stick it out, we need to have a munah, we need to cry along with the families, but I'll never say that it happened because of this sin or this sin. I will say that it happened in a time that gives us a reason to make my Cheshbon HaNefesh. There's a big difference between the two.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even the Holocaust, for people, they say, you know, Eev, when he asked Rabbeinu Shalom why he did it, Eev was a Navi, right? And he didn't know either. And what does Kaveh Yachol tell him? He tells him, were you there when I sprinkled the stars in the sky? Were you there when I spread the heavens in the universe? Were you there?
Right.
Were you there when I made the heaven Tina of the earth? So Eev didn't know. Who was a Navi? How could we possibly know?
That's right.
Rabbi Friedman, it's an honor as always to have you on with us, and you stated in such a clear way. Thank you very much.
Okay.